Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont, all the way from Australia. Yuri, it's been quite a busy weekend.
Yeah, it's been quite a busy and interesting weekend, and we've been all lucky to see after what happened yesterday in the race. It's been busy, and I think it will keep being busy for the next few races.
Yeah, 2020's Austrian Grand Prix very much carried on the theme of this year of, you know, unpredictability and drama, which all started on Saturday with the bombshell announcement that Andrea Dovizioso won't be a Ducati rider in 2021. I mean, that came just a day after Ducati said, we'll make a decision after the Styrian Grand Prix, and the decision was made for them. And it's a very strange situation because Dovi won't talk about it, Ducati won't talk about it. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that I wouldn't say unexpected, because I think this ending was unexpected if we go back to the beginning of the season, but expected if we have in our minds last 3-4 weeks. So yeah, in the end, I think that despite what the both parts say, I think it was just Ducati taking the decision on not keep going with Dovi at this point. They were thinking about the possibilities. They start to negotiate at some point at the beginning of the year, but then the COVID hit the championship, mm-hmm. and they had to discuss about the 2020 reduction salary conditions, and from then on all went a bit worse and worse and worse. So yeah, I think it's a question, it's a matter of commitment, and I think Ducati wants to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes sense, because it, you know, Dovizioso said on Saturday after the announcement that he didn't have a plan B, and that's a strange thing to say after you've just taken a decision to quit a team. So already, to me, that suggested that a decision had already been made for him, and he just didn't want to, you know, he just didn't want to go through the motions, as it were.
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's fair from both sides to let Dovi say that he's not going to be in Ducati next year. But especially, I asked him Saturday night. I mean, because he told us that he wanted to be focused 100% on racing, don't be distracted by these kind of things. But I asked him, listen, from my point of view, it is a bit difficult to understand this, because, I mean, it's not, as you say, you don't have a plan B. So how is that you're going to be 100% focused, more focused now than if you don't have any, let's say, job for next year. Mm-hmm. So how is that? And yeah, he told me that he gave us a bit of key points, like I'm racing for a purpose. My purpose is to be racing on top, and I'm not racing just for racing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I need a specific project. I need a project and a brand and a manufacturer who trusts me. And yeah, that's I mean, without saying that, he was showing us that that's not what Ducati is showing to him at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one, and we're not going to find out really what's happened between the two of them until the end of the season, because like you say, Dovizioso just, he doesn't want to talk about it right now, and that's fair enough, because there's still a whole season to go. He doesn't want to create tension in the Ducati garage. But it seems, you know, if anyone's watched the Undaunted documentary that was on Red Bull TV earlier in the year, it already looked like there was some friction, some fractures were beginning to appear between Dovi and particularly Gigi Deligna. So it kind of seems things. And if we remember at the end of last year as well, Dovi wasn't all that happy with how the year had gone, understandably. So yeah, it seems like this was, although we expected him to stay at the start of the year, it does seem like this was always coming.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough to say that. Don't forget, I mean, the from where Dov is coming from. I mean, he's been he started racing here more than 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and he has a lot of experience. He's been with all the manufacturers, and now he finally reached the point, and he's seen for everybody as a top rider. But now he has a star, like a top rider contract, mm-hmm. with around 6 million euros a year, and then the situation was going to be completely different for next year, because Ducati has not this kind of budget for their riders. So I understand that Dovi's position is, and listen, I'm not saying that it's mainly the economical side, but the economical side is a part of this, mm-hmm. of course, of his decision. So it's a package. I mean, he had to race alongside Jorge Lorenzo when Jorge was taking 12 million a year, and he was taking 1.5 million a year, winning more races or winning races when Lorenzo was not winning races. So I think that Dovi's mental status is a bit sensitive on this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It was an interesting how the weekend went after that, because, you know, it was almost sort of scripted that Dovizioso would then go and win the Austrian Grand Prix, and that's exactly what he did. And I mean, you could definitely see when he won that Grand Prix, the celebrations within the Ducati garage weren't, you know, they were a little bit muted. And I asked Dovizioso after the race, actually, on Sunday afternoon in the press conference, if this victory proved a point to Ducati. He brushed off the comment, but I can't help but feel that he, within himself, he feels, you know, like once again he has proved, you know, he's proved his worth, he's proved what he is capable of on the Ducati when the bike is right.
Yeah, I mean, but in the end, I think what he has to do, what he wants to do is win this championship. And I think both sides feel this way. Let me explain that, because it sounds a bit strange. But I think Ducati believes that this is the last chance, not the last dance, but the last chance, for Dovi to win this title with this bike, because it's a really, really, really strange championship without a mark in contention for in the fight for the title, apparently. With all the ups and downs from Yamaha, and they believe that in a normal That's what my feeling is. Then in a normal conditions, Mark would win this title. So, as I said, they think, okay, let's try to do this year, and then let's try to move the focus to and do something different from then on. And that's what they are, both parts are trying to do this. Dobby, because as he said, he has no plan B for next year, so he needs to find a ride. And Ducati, because yeah, they will do their best to win this title.
Yeah, it's a good point. This does definitely seem it's the best chance Dovizioso is going to get at winning the championship, and I think he knows that, and I think that's why he's been more frustrated by the problems he's been having with this new rear tire, and they don't really seem to be finding a way to match the bike to that. And it's interesting you say that as well, because Quartararo said that he sees Dovizioso more as a title rival than Vinales right now. And after what happened to the Yamahas in Austria again, you know, Quartararo had a brake problem but managed to get back up to eighth. And Vinales was only 10th after suffering, you know, he had a clutch issue on the restart, but he told me it was the same sort of inconsistencies that the Yamahas had for years. And it seems like Vinales was reverting to the Vinales of 2018, of 2017. Jerez just seems to have been a one-off at this stage of the championship.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know what's going on there, but for sure there's something on Sundays, because he normally flies on Friday on Saturday, and then on Sundays something happens. Something comes up all the time. So and yeah, we don't have to forget that Sunday is the important day. So yeah. with this kind of performance or with this kind of things, you cannot be a title contender in MotoGP. So it's no way. So they have to try to fix these problems. Despite what they have said about the engine, they still have huge concern about the engine. You know, when it's like in Formula One, I mean, the worst thing that a manufacturer can bring is a broken engine. Yeah. So they have huge concerns about the engine because they have a problem with the valves, and they are not gonna be able to touch it, to fix it. So
yeah, well, that's a good point. You're on that engine issue, because you got a scoop over the weekend that Yamaha had made that request to the Manufacturers Association to unseal the engine. We tried asking the riders about this. Are they running less revs? Quartararo and Vinales said nope. Well, what Quartararo and Vinales said was that we have the same power as Jerez. But that's not saying that they have less revs, because, you know, they might have had less revs at Jerez after the first weekend. Rossi sort of gave the game away a little bit when I asked him on Friday. He said, I asked him, you know, has Yamaha had to turn down the engines? He said, yes, a little bit, but top speed's always been a problem. So there is definitely an issue there. It's just Yamaha is refusing to talk about it, which is understandable, but you know, a bit of transparency as well at a time like this would probably go a long way.
But transparency is not, I mean, it's a difficult word to link with Yamaha.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, from my experience over the last years, it's the one of the teams most difficult to work with from the media, because yeah, I mean, they work this way, but yeah, I mean, in a way, it's funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it makes our job a little bit more difficult, but more fun as well, because you know we have to do a little bit more digging. I wanted to talk about, I mean, we need to talk about what happened up at turn three in the original start, because you know we were lucky. You know, MotoGP was lucky on Sunday that, you know, Sunday night and this morning, you know, we were inches away from having a very, very different, you know, a very, very different day. That horrible accident between Zarco and Morbidelli and Rossi and Vinales, so, so lucky to avoid being hit by those bikes. I mean, first of all, what was your take on the incident? Because it has divided opinion, and you know, Zarco has defended himself. He said, look, I'm not a crazy guy. I didn't do anything deliberately. But his line through turn two was a little bit strange.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, his line was strange, especially, I mean, 2 seconds before the crash. I mean, he moved quite, I wouldn't say aggressively, but yeah, he went from the left side of the track to the right side of the track where Morbidelli was, and that's what happened. I mean, but I think that I don't have input enough to say if it's 100% his fault, but at the same time, I think he's always in the parties. He's in all the parties.
This is exactly what Aleix Espargaró said. You know, it's always Zarco. Paul Espargaró sort of said the same thing as well without mentioning Zarco.
So yeah, I think this guy needs to think and try to because he's is him all the time. So when this happens so often, maybe is that you have to change a bit the approach to some maneuvers, or I don't know. But again, I'm not saying that he's guilty 100%, but I'm just saying that he's Zarco everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw last week there was the incident with Paul. You know, we have seen big accidents with Zarco before, and yeah, I agree with what you're saying there that it's not fully Zarco's fault, but on the other hand, the rider ahead, I think, in that situation that controls the lane, does have to be more cautious of the riders around them. I mean, there was nothing Franco could have done. There was absolutely nowhere for him to go. The fact he got away with only scrapes. The fact the two of them got away with only scrapes is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a testament to MotoGP. Because, you know, even 10 years ago, an accident like that, the outcome might not have been the same. Safety has advanced so much over the past
years. Yeah, but I would say that with this kind of accident, with this kind of crash, I mean, we could have had perfectly 2 or 3 deaths. I mean, without having nothing to do with the safety, because I'm a bit shocked about all these comments on Twitter saying that no, they need to renew the Red Bull Ring safety measures. And okay, maybe, but I mean, how many corners do we have like this one in the calendar?
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, what would have happened if 2 or 3 years ago in Phillip Island when we had a similar crash and Phillip Island, we all know that Phillip Island is a dangerous, I wouldn't say dangerous, but it's a particular track. But I mean, we've had many unfortunate accident and in many ways. I mean, in Montmeló when Luis Salom died, in Sepang, in Misano. So I, to be honest, I mean, a crash like this can happen anywhere.
Yeah. I think the biggest concern a lot of the riders had though was the way. There's two concerns. I think it's that corner, that turn two corner. It's you're 200 miles an hour, lent over, then you have to grab the brakes. But what a lot of riders were saying that, you know, if you're following a rider, you know, you can, the front of the bike can get quite disturbed by the turbulent air. And then if you catch any wind, you know, that can push you right out the line. And I think the problem with that corner as well is that because turn three sort of essentially turns back on itself, you know, if someone does lose the front end, then they are just, it's a 200 mile per hour bowling ball at that point. But there's it's a difficult one because a lot of the riders already before the weekend were saying, if it rains, you know, it's not going to be great. I personally do think there does need to be something looked at with the Red Bull Ring, move some of the barriers back, maybe.
Yeah, but this is not a story.
Change the profile of turn two, maybe.
I mean, if you want to move the run of area and to increase the run of area at some points, 100% agree.
Yeah.
Everywhere, not only there, everywhere. But what if you can't? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. So we all need to understand that this is. And don't forget what, I mean, riders. Most of the time, you have to listen to them,
mm-hmm.
and in a different kind of crash, all of them would have been a point to the track. Yesterday, most of them pointed at to a rider who made a mistake. So if they agree that there is like a human mistake, so it can be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I'm not saying that they don't have to review or to keep an eye on the Red Bull Ring safety measures. But, you have to listen to the riders. Of course, mm-hmm. we all know that motorsport is dangerous and MotoGP even more than other disciplines. But, I mean, most of the riders pointed out a rider, which means a human.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's definitely it's one of those 50-50 situations where I am in the camp that with modern motor, I don't think that going near the risk is, I don't think it's a, I don't think it's an, it's an unnecessary risk. Like, I don't think what, you know, racing at Red Bull Ring is, you know, it's not like going, you know, it's not like if MotoGP was at the TT or something like that. It's not, it's not that crazy kind of dangerous. But you know, there are that corner had always sort of scares me. I mean, I remember last year's race watching Dovi and Mark go side by side. Like, I was utterly thrilled by it, but I just thought if one of those guys, a small touch, it's going to be a huge accident. And it's, I love the Red Bull Ring. So I think it's one of the best tracks in the world, but I am a little bit on the fence on, is it suitable for modern MotoGP in its current state? I don't know.
So
that's not a decision for me to make, really.
So let's wait and see racing at Portimao.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to think that the safety will be a little bit. There's only so much they can do there as well, because you know some of the undulate. I mean, we're going to have jumps in MotoGP for the first time since we've been at the TT, really, which is
I remember being in Laguna Seca for the first time, and it was, I mean, the riders, most of the riders there were completely scared about that track. So I think we're going to have quite similar feelings in than in the course crew in Portimao, or even more hard feelings.
I'm looking forward to seeing bikes at Portimao. I mean, the Superbike weekends are always great there, but yeah, it's, I did, we spoke about this last week as well, that, you know, the safety is a little bit, it's on the limit for MotoGP. And I think a couple of riders have said that. We'll wait and see. But on the safety front, you know, it's, at the end of the day, we can debate about this, but the if MotoGP feels that where they are racing is safe, then, and the riders feel that, then this is, that's a decision we have to accept. And that's it. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is that nobody, you know, nobody got hurt, you know.
Yeah.
It was a horrible, 100%. I mean, the onboard from Rossi's bike, every time I see it, it makes me feel sick. Just, it's so, so scary.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even Maverick.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's talking about Rossi, but even Maverick looks like a doll there inside, covering his head by the pieces hitting him.
I've not seen when Rossi got back to the pits, I've not seen a rider look as shocked,
terrified
in a long time. And fair play to Valentino Rossi, fair play to all the riders, but you know, particularly Rossi and Vinales for just getting back into it, and then just, you know, I mean, Rossi to come home fifth after that was
Yeah.
You can, I certainly think, you know, a lot of people have taken to Twitter going, oh, will this make Rossi retire? If anything, I think it'll make him more hungry to go racing because it shows just how much he wants it.
Yeah, I think that the day after it can be worse, probably, because you have had time to analyze the thing.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, this morning, was a bit, tough for both of them.
Yeah, I can't imagine Rossi of Maverick had a particularly good night's sleep last night.
No.
Especially the fact that we have to come here again this weekend, which is actually an interesting thing because we've never had that before. We've had plenty of big accidents before, but we've never come back to that same circuit a week later.
Which is good because nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. And see, this is what worries me a little bit because we saw two big accidents. We had the Moto2 accident, and then we had what happened there. And
yeah, but again,
they were freak accidents. But
I mean, this kind of Moto2 accident happened quite similar.
Yeah, it's totally unavoidable, that kind of accident.
Exactly. I mean, it was. I remember when I was looking, watching the race, and this happened with Bastianini. I thought, "Whoa, this is Tomizawa."
Yeah.
What happened to Tomizawa and Misano? So, but when you have a rider lying on the ground, I mean, the worst can happen.
Yeah. Every year.
This time was the bike, and unfortunately, Hafish had the impact, but major injury happened to him.
Yeah, he was all right, and which is the main thing. It has raised an interesting thing on Rossi, touched on this, is that the aggression in MotoGP in all classes is, he thinks people need to watch what they're doing, which I don't think is an unreasonable comment, because I mean, if we look at what happened in that Moto3 race, I mean, I don't know how there wasn't an accident in that Moto3 race, because we saw some ridiculous moves, some crazy, crazy outbreaking, which we normally see in Moto3, but it does. I do sort of see where Rossi's coming from, and that riders maybe just need to pay a bit more attention. The race isn't one on one lap, essentially.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I think you get that once you get older.
You hope. But the problem is we get this, all these guys coming up to MotoGP, they're all really young now. So
yeah, but I mean, now they are really young, but once they are getting more and more experience, they all more mature, and they realize that crashing with the Moto3 bike is not the same than crashing with the MotoGP bike.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's a good point, because if you look at the guys that have come up, I mean, they're so wise beyond their years. I mean, the way Fabio talks, the way Joan Mir is, you know, the way all those guys handle themselves, it's they come across a lot older than, you know, their 21 and 22 and 23 year old ages. The main thing, like we say, is that no one was hurt, and we come back again. We had a good race at the end of the day, and we come back again this week with a renewed, you know, a fresh perspective, and an interesting championship fight, because now Dovi's only 11 points behind Quartararo.
Yes.
You know, the Suzukis, I was super surprised at how well the Suzukis went at Austria, given that Rins on Saturday said, our bikes are like Yamaha's, probably same sort of power. There wasn't a lot wrong with Mir or Rins's bikes at all.
You have to always, I always try to listen the most experienced guys, and Dovi always said this weekend, over the weekend, don't forget Mir, don't forget Rins, because Rins is going to be one of the, how do you call that, dark horses of the weekend. And he was completely right. Unfortunately, Rins made a mistake and crashed, but Dovi said after the race that with Rins would have been really tough race to win.
Yeah, it's heartbreak for Rins. He took the lead and then he crashed. So, yeah, hopefully he can put that to the back of his mind. I mean, it was a great, great ride from both of them, and it shows just how well that GSX-RR has come along. That they might not have the pure top speed, but they can use the power that they've got, which is sort of the same with the KTM as well. Is they can put down that power without too much spin, without you know.
I was 100% impressed with the KTM power, and not only with the power, but with the acceleration,
yeah,
the traction they have. So they have finally reached, they have finally found the way to put all those horsepowers and to the ground. And yeah, they have a really, really, really good bike. I think Paul was, and race one, was really looking forward to get the win. I mean,
yeah,
was really, yeah, convinced that he was able to win that race.
Yeah, yeah. It's, it was unfortunate for him that there was a red flag, because he ran out of medium tires, so he had to use a soft tire and it didn't work for him. And then there was the crash with Miguel, which is, you know, poor Miguel's always getting involved with KTM riders. But I mean,
yeah,
you know, Brad Binder coming from seventh to fourth, this, you know, this guy is, I don't want to, I know it's early, but this guy is, you know, if he keeps putting in performances like that, and then when he gets to tracks where he is good, where it's easier for him to learn, you know, he's not, and the way this championship is, you cannot rule him out as being a contender.
No, I to be honest, I see Dobby much stronger. I see once Yamaha fix this kind of problems, mm-hmm, I think Fabio will be back there.
Yeah.
But for this kind of, I think that we are in phases at the moment, and we are in this kind of uncontrolled phase, mm-hmm, of the championship. So once the championship, once the things will be back into the reality and the normality, I think we're gonna have again Dobby there, Fabio there. Let's hope that Mark will be there, and then it will be a bit more difficult for Brad because he's a rookie and at the end of the day. So let's see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark's going to be out for this weekend in Austria, but you kind of expect when he gets back in Misano that there will be a little bit of normality returning to the championship. But
yeah,
let's wait and see. I've thoroughly been enjoying the fact that every single week we've had something brand new to write about. We've not had that in a long time.
Yeah, we've been trying to write about bikes with no bikes on track. So yeah, now we have too much to write about.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, it's funny because we have a discussion every Monday after a race about features and things like that, and we have generally have three or four ideas, and then we get to the following week and whatever idea we haven't used almost becomes irrelevant because something just completely different happens. If it's,
yeah,
it's, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's great fun. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up there. Yuri, thank you very much for staying up late over there in Australia and joining us for the podcast again. You've definitely earned a day off after this weekend. And thank you to the listeners for joining us as ever. If you like what you heard and, you know, you like what you were reading as well, please check out everything on Autosport, motorsport.com as well. Podcasts are on all the podcast places, Apple, Google, Spotify. We will be back next weekend to discuss the Styrian Grand Prix at the Red Bull Ring. But until then, it is a very warm goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.